The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to Archangel Radio, broadcasting to you live this morning on 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, and on all those good streaming devices which you're using at the moment. Don't worry, I won't call out their name and then they change their stations or whatever it is. That's happened to me a few times when radio broadcasters do that. Anyway, welcome back. It's a kind of a bittersweet day, isn't it? We're remembering, we're celebrating Pope Benedict today. We're celebrating his memory and his legacy. I don't know if you heard that interview with Solène Tadi in the last segment. Wasn't she amazing? I've worked with Solène for years, and I knew nothing about that meeting Pope Benedict had changed her life forever. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how Pope John Paul II had the same influence on me, but that's coming up in story time, which is in the segment following on from this. And this segment, as you know, top of the hour, is devoted to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Why do we say the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 9 a.m. Central Time? Well, it's because it's 3 p.m. here in London, and it gives me a chance to enter into the hour of Divine Mercy, the hour of Great Mercy, and to pray with you during that time. Now, as I've said, and as the bumper said, you can join us at any time on 888-928-0881. You can just call in. Just call in with your intentions. We'd be glad to pray for you. Or you can text us on 251-928-2111. We're always glad to pray for you. And if you've been listening in the last few weeks before Christmas, you'll know that we had some really, really good intentions that came in, big intentions, difficult intentions, medical procedures or problems of one sort or another. And we had some answers. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is like some sort of game show where you win the jackpot. But you know what? Whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, whatever the thing that's weighing on your heart or your mind, my question to you is this. Can it do any harm to ask us to pray for you? Can it do any harm? It may do some good. Okay, let's ask Mike. Mike, do we have any prayer partners today?
Yes, we do. We have Kay Rem, who is joining us on the line. And Kay, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you all for having me. I'm very honored and humbled.
Kay, it's an absolute pleasure. May I ask whereabouts you're coming to us from?
I'm in Mobile.
Oh, you're in Mobile. That's great.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I was going to say, I love Archangel Radio. I love the five-hour of everything that y'all do. But I love Todd, Ellen, Mike. I don't know Reed or Rip, but I'm sure I'll meet them one of these days. And I'm enjoying listening to you, Kevin.
Well, Kay, I'm enjoying listening to you, and it's fantastic that you're going to be our prayer partner today. And it also means, if you've been listening before, Kay, that I don't need to explain to you how this works, right?
Right.
I love
the Divine Mercy Chaplet, yes.
How many years have you been saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Kay?
Oh, Lordy. I can't even begin to count how many years. It's probably been over at least maybe about 10 or 15 years.
Oh, you know, you're my sort of woman. You know that?
Well, I hope so. But and I'll be honest with you, I can't even remember who told me about it, but I've been very blessed and humbled to be able to have said it when my sister was dying, when my brother-in-law was dying, and my sister-in-law was dying. So, It's very powerful, and I just am very humbled. And I wanted to be able to help you out with this for the last couple of weeks, but it just things have happened, and I haven't been able to call in. But I'll try to call in, okay?
No better than today. But you're absolutely right. You know, it's a great prayer when people are dying. And I mean, we've all said it with relatives who are dying or about to die or have just died. And I think it's very, very wonderful that we can join together now and pray this in the few days after the loss of Pope Benedict, because obviously one of the top intentions throughout this chaplet is going to be the repose of his soul. But it's a wonderful prayer for people who are dying or people who are near death. And you probably know, Kay, that Sister Faustina, in her visions with our Lord, that was the thing that our Lord kept saying to him, that this is a prayer for the dying and those that are about to meet their Maker.
Right. And it took me several years, Kevin, but I did get through the diary of St. Faustina. And I'm going to be honest with you, that diary, as you well know, is a very thick, large book. But and I still, of course, I carry it in my car with me. The fact that, you know, she had these revelations from talking with Jesus, talking to her, and the priest that she went to, was it Father Andreas and then Father Spacco? I didn't say his name. But anyway, I say it every day. Now, sometimes I say it in the morning. Sometimes I know it's supposed to be at 3 o'clock. I don't think it really, you know, I mean, it's nice to be at 3 o'clock, but I do try to say it every single day. So, and like you said, right now, of course, it's on everybody's heart and mind about the repose of, Pope Emeritus Benedict, because he was a very humble and godly man, and I'll start crying, but it broke my heart. I'm glad that EWTN kind of let us know a few days before, you know, with him going into kidney failure, because it didn't come, I mean, it's quite a shock, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, of course, he's 95 years old, for gosh sakes, but I mean, so it wasn't, you know, when I heard Saturday morning, I was saddened, but I was happy for him. I was truly happy for him. So,
yeah, I think that's the right spirit, Kay, totally. We, you know, the other thing is, as Christians, you know, we mustn't cling on to this world because we're just passing through. No.
Right, exactly. And that's where we're all working for. That's what we want. We all want to see the face of God. We all want to go to heaven. And I heard the Good Morning Sunshine morning show. They were saying that his last words were, "Lord, I love you." And how sweet is that? I just, oh, my gosh, I thought, oh, my Lord. I'm going to put that on my little sticker in my car and try to say that every day.
Thank you for sharing that, Kay. I didn't know that. That's wonderful. Well, Mike, is Sherry joining us as well?
She hasn't joined yet. Okay. I believe she's taking care of some business at her job.
That's okay. We've got Kay. Kay sounds to me like a total premium prayer warrior. So we are in safe hands. We've got Kay, and we've got me, and we've got Mike, and we've got Reed. So we've got the whole team on the go. So listen, if you're listening to this, you can be part of this. You can call in on 888-928-0881, or you can text us on 251-928-2111, and myself and Kay will be very, very happy to pray for you and your intentions, whatever they are. And I think you just heard the Kay's talk there, and you'll know, I think this woman's prayers are very effective. So listen, get in while you can, okay, while the phone lines are open. Okay, Kay, shall we begin?
Absolutely.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, okay, O blood and water,
which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, Kay, before we start this first decade, who or what have you brought with us to pray for?
Of course, as we said, the Pope of the Solo Pope, Emeritus Benedict. But also, I'm not going to say their names, but I have several nieces and nephews who I love dearly, and I know they do love God and Jesus, but they have fallen away from the Catholic faith. So I really, really, really would like to pray for them, and they know who they are.
Okay. Well, that's a very good intention, Kay, and it's an intention that keeps coming up during this half hour of this show, which is parents and grandparents praying for, and also aunts and uncles praying for the faith of the next generations that are coming along. I suppose, Kay, we've got to remember that we were young once, and that meant that we also drifted away in that, but the good Lord in his mercy brought us back, so nothing is lost, right?
Not at all. Not at all. And believe me, I'm not judging them at all. I'm just begging for the good Lord to have a conversion on them to come back to the Catholic faith.
And you know what the good book says? Where two or three are gathered in my name, then
I am in the midst of them.
Exactly. So today you and me and Mike and Reed and everybody that's listening to us here today, we're joined together in prayer in his name on this feast of the holy name of Jesus. And we're praying in his name for Kay's nephews and nieces. And Lord, you know who these people are. You know their names. And we're praying for each and every one of them that at some point they will recognize you as their Savior and live as in the light of that. And as Kay is saying as well, we'll also pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict. And pray for all those who have lost loved ones in this last over the Christmas period. And for all those souls that we've prayed for since we started this apostolate a few weeks ago. There's been many people phoning in about people who were on the point of death. And if you're listening and somebody has died recently, then we are including those departing souls now in this decade. So for Pope Benedict and all the holy souls, may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Okay, Kay, let's go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay. Now, what I'd like to do, if it's okay, Kay, is pray for somebody who texted in while we were off the air between Christmas and New Year. Luke, if you're listening in Fairhope, you asked for prayers for Celie and Adele, living in Louisiana, both of whom are suffering aggressive forms of cancer. And we'd like to pray this next decade for Celie and Adele, Luke, and also for yourself. I know you've texted the show a number of times, and it's great that you're thinking of other people and you're praying for other people. So if it's okay, Kay, I think we'll pray this for anybody who's being diagnosed with cancer, who's suffering from cancer, or who's a cancer survivor. What do you reckon?
Absolutely.
And just to remind people that God is greater than cancer. And prayer is the most effective medicine out there. I'm not saying that it will cure everything, but it won't do any harm, that's for sure.
Not at all.
Okay, let's pray this second decade together then for Luke and his intentions, for Celie and for Adele and for all those suffering from cancer, in whatever form it is. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Kay. Well, it's the start of a new year, and everybody's got ideas and hopes and dreams for this year, I'm sure. So without further ado, I'm going to turn to our producer, Mike, and ask, Mike, do you have anybody or anything you'd like us to pray for in this opening chaplet of 2023?
Yes, I would. I would like to pray for my family, especially my wife, and continued that cancer will stay away from her. You know, she's in remission, as you know, and the cancer is in remission. So I just pray that it stays that way. And I just pray for my own spiritual growth, and that I'll grow closer to Christ this year, and keep to my New Year's resolutions. And pray for the staff here at Archangel Radio, especially here for Reed, who has just joined us within this last month. So so certainly pray for him and his intentions as well.
Wonderful. And if I could just add to that, Mike, and sure, ask that the Lord give you an ever abundance of patience with errant radio hosts. That would be good as well.
No, you're good.
All right. But seriously, they're wonderful prayers. Don't you think, Kay? Family and work and vocation?
Exactly. I'm right there with Mike. And I tell you, like I said, I don't know Reed yet, but so far from everything I've heard about him and the little bit I've heard him on the radio, he's doing a great job, Mike. He's helping you out a lot.
He is. He certainly is. I'm very, very, very grateful and appreciative of Reed.
Yes. And we're very appreciative of all of y'all at Archangel Radio. Believe me, I can't say it enough. So I bless y'all for what you do.
Well, we're blessed to have you as a listener, Kay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, listen, Mike, this decade's for you, okay,
oh,
and all
you.
Your intentions.
You.
And for everybody at Archangel Radio in this new year, let's see what the Lord has in store for everyone. Okay, Kay, shall we lead the charge?
Go right ahead, Kevin.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Kay, and thank you, Mike. Now, we've been talking about him, Kay, so we better ask Reid if he's got any prayers. That's if he's still with us. Reid, are you still
there? I'm still
here.
Wonderful. Good.
That's great. Exactly. Now, you heard how much Kay is praying for you and hoping that you'll find your vocation here.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Reid, start of the new year, you're a young man. You must have lots of hopes and dreams and ambitions for this year. Let's pray for them. What's on your mind?
I want to pray for my grandmother. She's the matriarch of my family, and she passed down our Catholicism to my entire family. And the story goes when she was in Minnesota and she was only 4 or 5 years old, her mother took them out of a religious kind of daycare place and put them in public school. And on the same day, her father pulled them out of public school and put them into Catholic school. And so I'm glad that he made that decision, because it resulted in my entire family being Catholic.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is.
That's amazing. What was your grandmother's Christian name, Reid?
Her name is Elizabeth McDuffie.
Is she still alive? Still with us?
Yep, she is. She is. She's.
Is she listening?
I'm not even sure if she's. We'll have to get that figured out for her. I'll get it going.
Well, listen. You know, this goes out as an encore presentation at 10 p.m. Central Time through to midnight, so about 11 p.m. Central Time. So, if you're listening to this on the encore presentation, your grandson Reid has just given us a wonderful little vignette of your life, and we're now going to pray and celebrate that with this chaplet of Divine Mercy. That's wonderful, Reid, and we'll also include you in this, Reid, won't we, Kay?
Perfect.
We'll pray that. That Reid enjoys his time with Archangel and learns and grows into this very, very valuable role. But it's not just a role, right, Reid? It's also an apostolate. It's a vocation.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you'll never know the good that you and Mike and Archangel are doing throughout the world, or people like Kay who are praying along with us. It's wonderful. And also you, Elizabeth, if you're listening, and welcome to the show. I hope you'll listen every day to Reid's work on this show. That'd be great. Okay, shall we pray?
Yeah.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us.
Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And on the whole.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Kay and Reed. Now, this is the final decade, Kay, and so far we have had 0.0 people phoning in. I can't believe this, why people wouldn't want prayers. So that means you get double helpings, Kay. You get a second bite at this cherry. Anybody else or anything else you would like to pray for on this first decade or first chaplet of the new year?
I would just like to pray for all my siblings. I have four brothers that are living and three sisters that are living. So I'd love for everybody to pray for them and for their family and children and grandchildren. And I really, 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 really want us to continue to pray. And I know we do, but I can't say it enough to pray for all of our priests, especially those in the Archdiocese of Mobile who they're fighting a good fight every day because I know the devil's attacking a good holy priest. And we need to pray for our seminarians. We've got 13 right now. And without seminarians who become priests, we can't receive the sacrament. So I think it's very vital to continue to pray for our seminarians who hopefully will be priests one day.
Okay, let's pray for that.
Okay, buddy.
That's a great. So your siblings, all seven of them, your grandchildren, and all priests. That's wonderful. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
Mercy on us and on the whole world.
Sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude, Kay. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us and on the whole world. O my Jesus, I trust in Thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for Kay for being with us. Do come back again.
Oh, I will. I'll try to. I promise. Thank y'all so much for doing this. I think it's wonderful. And God bless you, Kevin, for what all you're doing.
Thank you, Kay. And God bless you.
Thank y'all.
Okay. When we come back, we will be doing story time about the time I went to the funeral of John Paul II. You're not going to miss this. Stick around for that. Here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Sancte Barnaba,
ora pro reo.
Santa Maria Magdalena,
ora pro reo.
Omnes sancti discipuli Domini,
ora te pro reo.
Sancte Clemens,
ora pro reo.
Sancte Calliste.
You're listening to the bringing in of the body of Pope John Paul II to the lying in state in St. Peter's in Rome. That was the soundtrack to that. They had this wonderful ceremony where a choir would lead his body, his mortal remains, into the center of St. Peter's Basilica before they would be placed there. And then there would be a number of days lying in state, just as we're doing. Just as we're doing at the moment with Pope Benedict, it's exactly the same. So people are going and paying their respects. You probably heard the first caller on the show today, Sebastian, who's German, calling in, debating in his mind whether he should go to Rome to pay his respects to the late, great Pope Benedict XVI. And the story time today is really about the time I went, ended up at the funeral of John Paul II, but I also attended the lying in state. And it was a strange event. And if you were listening at the start of the show, you'll have heard me say to Sebastian, go. You'll not regret it. And it's something you'll remember for the rest of your life, because I can tell you that I certainly remember very vividly every moment of that trip to Rome, which came totally out of the blue. Now, for those of you too young or can't remember exactly, it was 2005 when Pope John Paul II died. And a bit like Pope Benedict, I mean, it wasn't unexpected. In fact, Pope John Paul II had been ill for a number of months prior to his final departure, which, if memory serves me right, it was around April the 2nd, so it was around Easter time. I think that he died on the vigil, the eve of Low Sunday, which has also become Divine Mercy Sunday. Which was wholly appropriate, right? For the great saint of divine mercy, we can call him a saint now, he's been subsequently canonized. At the time, though, he was the great pope of divine mercy. Because it was Pope John Paul II that lifted the ban on the writings of Sister Faustina, as she was then. And you will have heard Kay, in our prayer warrior, in the last segment, talking about the diary of Sister Faustina. And that is the diary that, under obedience to her confessors, Faustina wrote out the various apparitions and visions of our Lord to her. And these have been validated over the years by the Church. Now, in matters of private revelation, as we know with anything, even Lourdes and Fatima and all these wonderful apparitions, they are not articles of faith, right? So you don't have to believe them. As a Catholic, you can believe in Fatima. You don't have to. It's not an article of faith. For example, you've got to believe in the Assumption, right? You've got to believe in the Immaculate Conception because they are defined dogma. But private apparitions, wisely as a mother, the Church says, no, if you want to believe and it helps you, great. It doesn't. It wisely also says some apparitions are approved. So if you want to believe them, great. If you don't, that's fine too. And then some apparitions and some so-called mystical events are disapproved, I guess, or rejected as authentic. And that is the Church being a wise mother to all of us, ensuring that we don't go off on the wrong down the wrong avenue because it's so easy. Because as St. Paul says in the Scriptures, you must test the spirits. And that's what the Church is doing. It's testing the spirits, testing these. Are these things helping us closer to Christ, or are they subtly moving us away from it? So it was very fitting the day that he died. Now, I remember the day he died. I was visiting with my wife some friends in the north of England in a town in a city called York. And I remember the news coming through. And not being shocked, but you know, it was sad because John Paul II, certainly for people of my age, was this enormous figure on the Catholic landscape. For those of you listening of a certain age, maybe younger, people maybe like Reed or young men born, you know, millennials, you won't understand the significance of John Paul II to my generation. I mean, he was a huge figure. Colossus, standing and helping us, leading us through the darkness of the world around us. So when we heard of his death, both my wife and I were sad, but also giving thanks, like we are today. We're celebrating the life of Pope Benedict. Well, we immediately thought of the celebration that we had lived through the life, or with the life, of a great man. Now, many of us suspected he was a saint, but it wasn't officially declared at that point. But I remember that was the initial thought. So, April 2005, my wife heard the news. We went to Mass that morning. I could still remember it. I was a bit disappointed that the priest didn't make more of Pope John Paul II, but he was trying to reassure his flock that just because the Pope died didn't mean the world had ended. And that's the other thing that we forget, and maybe something which is a little bit lost with the passing of Pope Benedict, because Pope John Paul II had been Pope for 20-odd years, and most of us could not remember a Pope before him, and the world seemed to just be totally devoid of anything, because we didn't have a Pope when he died, remember. It was sede vacante, as they say. The seat was empty. And therefore, there was a lot of prayers for the passing of a pontiff and prayers for the new pope. And also then the conclave would start and the cardinals would all assemble. So there was a lot of business to be transacted. There was a lot of things that needed doing. Whereas the passing of Pope Benedict has proved a much more tranquil, much more gentle event, because we have a pope, right? We have Pope Francis. There's no conclave. And even there's not the same kind of sense of liturgical sense of praying prayers in churches. I mean, I asked my parish priest the other day, who, when we just heard the news on Saturday morning. And I mean, he wasn't really sure, were they to pray for the passing of the Pope or Pope Emeritus? Was it slightly different? So we're all feeling our way a little bit in some senses, or officially. But we do know that we're very happy to be praying for Pope Benedict. So there was a lot of sort of to-ing and fro-ing. But the world's media immediately jumped on the fact that Pope John Paul II had died. And I'll never forget. Now, remember, I live in Britain, one of the most secular countries in the world. Now, you might think in the United States that you're living in a secular country. But let me tell you something, it's nowhere near the secularity that we have here. Just to give you a couple of statistics, in the United States, approximately 50% of Americans, approximately, depending which state you're in and all the rest, I know, I get it, but approximately 50% go to church on a Sunday. In the UK, I think it's about 2%, and that's on a good day. You know, there's a huge differential, right? There's a huge differential. There may be more people going to the... In fact, I've heard and read there are more people go to mosque on a Friday than go to Anglican church services on a Sunday. But that's open to debate. But just to give you an idea of that, because I'll never forget that after the Pope died, Pope John Paul II, the British media were amazing in the best sense. Tabloid newspapers would have their front headlines as John Paul the Great and a picture of John Paul II lying in state. It was unheard of, right? This is a not only a secular country, but England or Britain historically for the last 500 years has been a Protestant country with quite a deep strain of anti-Catholicism. So to have this outpouring of respect and love for the late great John Paul II was unheard of. And it was wonderful. In fact, I remember an atheistic work colleague of mine giving out one day at work saying, "I can't believe it," he says. "The BBC every 5 minutes is going to Rome to find out what's happening about the Pope and the conclave." He said, I didn't know this country was being taken over by the Vatican and all this sort of stuff. That just gives you some idea of the sort of feeling that was around. Now, like most people, I thought, well, the Pope's died. We'll pray for him. We'll go to the local church and we'll pray that that his soul rests in peace. And let's not forget that even popes need prayers. We all need prayers when we depart this realm. Nobody goes to God without need of prayers. So I thought that would be it. And I wasn't intending to take the day off to watch it on television or that. We didn't even have a television, my wife and I. So I would just, pray for him and that would be the end of it. However, my wife had other ideas. And this is where the story gets more interesting. So I never forget, when she heard the news, my wife turned to me and said, "I'd love to go to the funeral." Now, my wife then was teaching, and she was off that week. Just so happened that the funeral was going to take place. And I said to her, "Well, you must go." She said, really? I said, absolutely. You know, just go. Just organize it. Just go. I said, I'll have to go to work. And she said, fair enough. So she started organizing her trip to Rome. Now, the flight costs, I remember her telling me this, were not cheap. Because the one thing a flight, the airlines do is when they see an opportunity to make some money, especially something like this, a big event, the fares mysteriously seem to go through the roof. So in the past, you could get cheap flights from London to Rome back then, talking, 16, 17 years ago. You might get a flight for £30, which is the equivalent of about $50 max return. But the flights had gone up to about $400, $500 per flight. So it was suddenly things had got very expensive. But I was very happy she was going. I knew how much she loved Pope John Paul II. And I was encouraging her fully to go, very much. And so I went back to work, and it was either Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember the exact day of the burial, but it was sort of towards the end of the week, a bit like Pope Benedict. So I was sitting at work, let's say on the Tuesday. And the phone went, my phone went, and I picked it up. It was my wife, and she said, you know, I'd like to go to Rome, but I really, really would like you to come with me. And I said, well, I said, you know, I've got work. I haven't told anybody I'm taking time off, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, well, I'd really like you to come. So I said, well, look, I'll call my boss and see what she says. Now, I thought my boss would be, you know, I just thought she'd be a little bit surprised by this and say, well, Kevin, you've got other things. We've got these things planned, you know, that sort of thing. It was in a line of work which wasn't Catholic, wasn't journalism. It was a different line. So after my wife called off, I phoned my boss, who was Jewish. And I said to her, I'd like to go to a funeral. And she went, oh, Kevin, who's died? That's terrible. You must go. And I thought, oh, she doesn't realize who I'm talking about. And I said, well, it's actually the Pope's funeral. And you know what her reaction was? Straight as a die, she said, you must go. I said, really? She said, yes, you must go. I said, you don't mind? She said, not at all. Go. I thought, right. I thought, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So I phoned my wife back and said, well, my boss says I can go, but what about the flights? And she says, I've got it all sorted out. I've already made inquiries. I think she'd already booked me on a flight. So she says, we're leaving at sort of sometime that night, flying to Rome, the only flight you could get. So I said, fine, okay, let's go. So I went home, got packed quickly. Now, we didn't pack a lot. I mean, we're going to a funeral, but we didn't pack a lot. And we knew we had about a 24-hour window of opportunity to go to the lying in state of Pope John Paul II. And then the day after, I think, was the funeral. So we were flying out, let's say, on the Wednesday. There was the Thursday. Maybe the Friday was the funeral, something like that. Right? So we got the flights, flew to Rome. We had a friend living in Rome, which was lucky because you couldn't get anywhere to stay. And we went straight to her apartment or place that she was living, which was a very nice place from what I can remember. And we just dumped our bags and said hello. And then my wife said, right, we're off to join the queue, join the line for the lying in state of Pope John Paul II. So we headed back into the center of Rome and headed to St. Peter's. And it wasn't very hard to find the line, right? Because if you can imagine that picture of St. Peter's that everybody knows, the front of St. Peter's and the steps down and then the sort of palazzo in the front with the pillar. I mean, if you can imagine the line going straight down that, and then it would sneak around the corner and go up another street running parallel all the way around to the very walls of the Vatican. So it was a line of about, probably about a mile in length. So my wife and I, we joined that line, and it was about 6 p.m. local time. And we joined the line, and I remember thinking to myself, this is going to take a long time. And I don't know about you. I've never met anybody who likes to line up for hours and hours and hours, wait for hours and hours and hours for anything. But for John Paul II, I was certainly willing to make that sacrifice, and my wife was definitely willing to make that sacrifice. So we joined the line, and it was a beautiful sort of warm Rome evening, beautiful weather. So it wasn't cold or damp or anything. It was just nice. And we joined the line. And I must say, the line moved very, very slowly. Now, if you've ever been in a line like that, you become curious about the other people, the people who join it from behind, who are behind you, and the people who are in front of you. Now, in front of us were some young people, or a school group, or a youth group. That's what they looked like. And they were full of energy, which was wonderful. But next to us, there was a couple, a young couple, similar age to us, and they were standing. And we got talking to them, as you do with this sort of thing. And like us, they had heard the news, and they had just felt this need to come to Rome to pay their respects to John Paul II. But they had come all the way from Venezuela. That's right, Venezuela, South America, right? I mean, now, when they had their flight was a lot longer than ours. The flight from London to Rome is 2 hours. Their flight, I don't know, 7-8 hours, something like that. And it had taken them almost a day's journeying to get to this line out beside us. But it meant nothing to them. All they were interested in was in paying their respects to John Paul II. Now, I must admit that when I heard that, I had two emotions that came upon me. One was awe, in that they managed to travel all the way from Venezuela to this line out, as we were, in such speed and with such commitment. And then I felt a little bit guilty, because I had been thinking, oh, you know, traveling from London and having to line up like this and wait. They showed me that this was really important. But there was another group, a group that was behind us, and they were dressed different from everybody else. And it was really interesting, because most people were dressed in the casual way that 21st century people travel, right? So it's trainers, it was this casual shirt, you know. We were dressing for comfort, and for the fact that we were going to in the sunshine and we were going to have to wait for a long period. We weren't dressing as you'd go to a funeral, right? However, the people that were behind us were dressed almost like in some sort of uniform. And they were Polish. You could tell by the way they were speaking and their accents and all the rest of it. And they had some sort of like distinctive garb. It was almost like they were dressed like they were part of a guild or a trade union, something like that. But their dress set them apart. But it wasn't just their dress. Because where were the rest of us, it was a slightly holiday mood, a fiesta mood. We were chatting to each other and just enjoying the sunshine and the occasion. These people, and people would sit on the ground or flop on the ground, you know, it was very casual. But these men, and they were all men, were working men, stood very erect, with their eyes appearing never to move from the now illuminated white facade of St. Peter's. It was almost like they were intent in getting in there, paying their respects. Later, I would discover that this wasn't just a sort of sense of respect, but that they were praying. That these working men were praying for their lost brother, John Paul II. So anyway, the line kept going round until we were facing the Vatican. We were on that long street up to the Vatican, to St. Peter's. And then night fell, and then things got quieter and quieter until the Vatican closed St. Peter's, because they had to, right? It was middle of the night. At this point, it was about 2 a.m. or something like that, and they had to close it because they had to do certain cleaning and all the rest, whatever they had to do for a number of hours. So it was a period when the line was not moving and would not be moving until that dawn came. So all of us had to basically sit down on the street for the night. None of us could move from our position in the line, otherwise you wouldn't get in. And to be honest, we were all a little bit tired at this point. I would look around at these working men behind me in their uniforms, and there was no hint of tiredness. And there was no hint of a lack of resolve from them. They were going to pay their respects no matter how long it took, no matter how much it cost them physically. For me, I sat on the ground and I think I probably fell asleep for a period of time. And my mind began to wander during that period. It began to wander and think about the three times that I had seen John Paul II. There was a fourth time. But there were three large occasions when he loomed. So the more intimate occasion when I saw him was shortly after I'd got married and my wife and I went to Rome on a bit of a holiday. And we saw him at a general audience, you know, where he drives around the square and waves to everybody. And that was very nice. But I'd seen him a couple of years prior to that at the World Youth Day in Rome in the year 2000. When the largest crowd ever assembled on the continent of Europe met together to listen to the Pope. And I went with a group of friends, and it was just amazing. Because I remember that even though there were 2 million of us, with this white dot in the distance speaking to us, it was almost like we were with him. We weren't listening to some far-off figure. We were listening to somebody who was very immediate to us. Now, prior to that, the other World Youth Day I'd been at had been in 1997 in Paris, which was a wonderful experience, and I'll tell you much more about that another day. It really was a fascinating journey. And really the moment when, in some ways, the gift of faith was given more completely to me, in a sense, as an adult. And I can still remember the way in which the French press, in particular, were scornful of this Pope coming, that he would make any difference and nobody would turn up to see him. And I'll tell you more about that on another occasion. But they were proved totally wrong, absolutely wrong. It was almost like the whole of France came to see him, and he proved a great success. And the whole of Paris, for example, was turned into this wonderful Christian Catholic fiesta with songs and prayers and rosaries, and it was just incredible. And this was all John Paul II's doing, who had started these World Youth Days. But my earliest memory of a large gathering with him was back in 1979 when he came to Ireland. It was his second foreign journey. I think he went to Mexico first and then he came to Ireland. And I remember seeing him as a young boy and being absolutely amazed that the Pope had come to Ireland. I mean, it was like as if a spaceship had dropped him into Ireland. And I was far too young to really understand the significance of what he was saying or how important it was. But all these memories were flooding through my mind as I was sitting on these cobbled stones in Rome waiting to get in to see him. Anyway, 6 a.m. came, and the sun slowly began to emerge against the Roman sky, and the line started moving, and it started to move quite quickly. And before I knew it, I was climbing the final steps to St. Peter's before entering into the still silence of that wonderful church. And as I made my way down the central aisle, I could see the coffin flanked by the Swiss guards. And moments later, I gazed upon the face, the casket was open, I gazed upon the face of the man who had changed my world. Now strangely closer to me in some ways in his death than I'd ever been in his life. And I was privileged to be able to kneel for a period beside his coffin and pray for him, please God with him. And when I'd paid my respects, I moved to the side as other mourners approached, and down the aisle came the Poles. Do you remember those working men I told you about who had been with me throughout the night? There was 8 of them in number, and they marched in formation carrying their Polish flag. And when they came to beside the coffin, they stopped and they bowed their heads in silence. And then their eyes, now mostly closed, but one could still make out tears falling down upon their cheeks as they stood there with their heads bowed in prayer. And then as quickly as they entered, with their heads again erect, once more in strict formation, they turned and marched out into the morning sunlight. I'll never forget those men. And I'll never forget the funeral that happened the next few days. I'll never forget being surrounded by Poles who had two flags, the Polish flag and the Vatican flag, and how those flags were held aloft until the moment when the coffin of John Paul II was lifted up, taken away. And then the flags all lowered, and everywhere went silent, except for the sound of sobbing and tears. I was so glad that my wife had suggested that I go to the lying in state and to the funeral of John Paul II, because do you know what? He really was John Paul the Great. And in those couple of days, I had once again experienced something of the greatness of that man. Saint John Paul II, pray for us. Well, that's it for today, and you have been subjected to the Turley Frequency. I do hope you enjoyed it. Listen, we'll be back again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. Until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. So until tomorrow, may God bless you.